Bismillahirrahmanirrahim. Student in Syria, Sheikh Muhammad. In those days, you're talking about 2 centuries ago, they went boarding facilities. So what used to happen, sometimes a student will hire an apartment, and sometimes there is a room so adjoining the masjid. So he will offer to do some of the services of the masjid in lieu of staying there, and perhaps some food. So he'll do the services of the masjid, like azan, cleaning up or performing the namaz. In lieu of that, he'll give a place to sleep and they'll offer him some food. Some are wealthy and they will get a monthly allowance from home, and some went wealthy. With the Sheikh Muhammad, you should get a monthly allowance. Now it happened that 1 month had passed and the monthly allowance didn't come. It's delayed. So he hasn't eaten for almost 3 days or 4 days. Really hungry, 3 days, nothing. We need to be thankful in the circumstance we are. Favors, comforts. And it's going to be very important that we see what was the condition of the students of the past and under what circumstance they came and studied. What's happening in this day is we've got the favors, the comforts we have got. And when you got the favors, so there's two problems that come with it. One is now that we have a relaxed attitude. Number two is that we aren't appreciative. So those students, they used to be working hard, not a relaxed attitude. And number two, they're very appreciative. So if these two elements are gone out of the equation, then you are wasting time. Then any form of deen work, not appreciative, right? And you aren't dedicated, so you're going to be causing problems. The student is such, you've got no time for anything else. That person in deen, he's got no time for discussion, no time. Yahya Sahib, alhamdulillah, imagine the work Allah Pak had taken from him. One person, and the work that Allah Pak had taken from him. One student of Yahya is Muhammad Ilyas Sahib. The next student is the Sheikh Zakaria Sahib, alhamdulillah. The whole world is illuminated on account of their work. But did you see now how they worked, how Murad worked? So that Nizamuddin, the Markaz there, was run by his grandfather. And then after the grandfather passed away, so someone had to be in charge. The next person, perhaps it was Mawlana Ismail, he was there. And then, because he's in the day of Mawlana Ismail, Mawlana Yahya Sahib Rahmatullahi lived in a room in the markaz. So there's a masjid and there's a small room, and this is where he lived. You open the door, it's just jungle, bush, nothing. It's not a town, it's just a jungle. So he studied under this circumstance. You talk about food, etc., then the food would be brought to him once or twice in the day, and that's it. Then he's just locked up in that room, and nobody knows who's Mawlana Yahya. So there was some request from Ra Yahya to come to his hometown, Kandla. The postman came in, he's asking for Muli Yahya. Nobody knows. He's there already 3 years, and nobody knows about Mulara Yahya. So the dedication that he was studying, not looking to the right, not looking to the left, I came for a work, let me do my work. Around a time where Delhi was flooded with bidat and whatever, but I've come for a course, I've come for a work, and I must just remain in the work that I am dedicated. Nonetheless, when I was with his father, one Ismail Sahib, and it was towards the end of the year, the madrasas, they evoked with Ramadan, and some prominent madrasa in Delhi requested if Mawlana Yahya could join the examination. Well, I wasn't interested, but his father said, alright, the requesting go. It happened that Mawlana Saharanpuri Sahib Rahmatullahi was there to see to the exams. Now, when I saw the papers of Mawlana Yahya Sahib, he says his assessment of the papers, of the performance, says, was such that even a teacher of hadith for several years can't write to this level. A teacher of hadith that studies hadith for several years, and not only studied but taught hadith, he can't write a letter of this level. Feel of dedication. So person is dedicated, he is something else. He is not worried. What's happening this side here, happening there, what he is saying and what he is doing. Because the law of Allah Ta'ala is Al-Haqqu Ya'lu. The Haqq must prevail. It will take time, but the Haqq will prevail. However it will come, it will come. So in that day, when I was studying at Sirat Ibn Hisham, I remember Fathul Bari and Hidayah, Fathul Qadir. These 3-4 kitabs here. But the way he learned the thing, that the Mumtahin, that was Mawlana Saharanpuri Sahib, he says even an alim that taught hadith for several years, he can't write to that level. Proper dedication. So, when he saw the paper, Saharanpuri suggested that I take you to Gango and you study under Gangohi Sahib Rahmatullahi. Now this must have been about 1308 or 1309, at the time when Gangohi Sahib Rahmatullahi had lost his sight completely. So Mansa first excused himself that I've lost my sight completely. So it's just a request. If you won't find a student like this, please do accept it. So Mansa renewed the study, the teaching. Mulana Gangohi Sahib Rahmatullahi is dictating or he's explaining in Urdu, and this man is writing the notes in Arabic. Can you imagine now what a caliber of a person must have been? He's giving the explanation here, and then that became a prominent sharah of the hadith, Lami ud-Durari and Al-Kawkab ud-Durri. At the time this kitab was prepared, so there is one alim, Mawlana Manazir Ahsan Gilani. He's quite like a free writer. How you have a modernist style. So his style is like free. Very free writing. So he came up to Sampur one day. He passed away in 1955, some he passed away. Manasir Ahmad Asan Gilani. He came to meet Hazrat Sheikh Hamdari. Sheikh Hamdari was a bit worried. Because now he's a top alim and a little bit free in his approach. So he came here to compliment Hazrat Shaykh. This, I don't find any type of a sharah that is at this level. Comprehensive, complete, perfect. I haven't found a sharah. And presently, every person that is teaching Tirmidhi Sharif or Bukhari Sharif must see these books. As though it was the khulasa, the essence of Fathul Bari. Right. Whatever is contained in Fathul Bari in Hajar, Islamic Bari is like the. Right. So this was Mawla Yahya Sahib. Very dedicated. But then, see that dedication, that one track mind. I must do my work. People will be doing a lot of things. Can you control people? You can't control people. What you can't control, leave it. Make dua, you do your work. If you're going to get into that, then there's going to be two problems. One is that you won't do work. Number two, it can result in instigation. He must fix him up. Now you got it in the mind already. He's a spanner in the work, and I must fix him up. So I ask you then, can you work properly? Can you work with an unbiased mind? Your mind will always be torn. He must fix him up. So the minutest of problem I've been looking for. He did this, he did that. He did this and he did that. You can't work. So, you're not good in deen and you're not good in dunya. Wherever you are, there's a fight. You're losing out. In all fronts, you're losing out. And Allah Pak wants for the believer, قَدْ أَفْلَحَ الْمُؤْمِنُونَ. You've won. So that one, that winning what it requires. وَالَّذِينَ هُمْ عَنِ اللَّغْوِ مُعْرِضُونَ. They leave all these vain things, controversies, disputes and all, they leave it out. They stuck to their work. They consume. All these things are going to happen and you're not going to change the events. So, but are you doing your work? With dedication, are you doing it properly? Like how the elders want it to be, are you doing it? So then, just a few years, and then the person that he had produced, look at them, Mr. Sheikh Amtari, Mr. Mawla Ilyas Sabhadai, Mr. Zafar Ahmed Usmani Sabhadai, and these are people that, like they change the whole face of the, that's how it works. Like look at Mr. Zafar Sab and his Ila Usman. The Arabs are wonderstruck that how can an Indian sitting here in India do a kitab like this? It's so comprehensive, so perfect. But you see the people he had produced, what he's produced. So, we're talking about him, right? So, in deen work, two things are required. If you want to go, you want to progress in it. What is, you want things to happen like how you think. Scrap that. Because you are a suspect. How do you know that your reasoning is right? How do you know that there is an element of nafs in what you are saying, what you're doing? Do you know? But what your akabir is saying, inshallah, they should be good in that. So all what is required is just listen to them, carry on. Whatever happens, say you die in the process, there's no loss. Because you held on to the righteous. Right? And even if you didn't win straight, by Allah Ta'ala, you're a winner. قَدْ أَفْلَحَ الْمُؤْمِنُونَ. Now look at Mu'asa'an from a different perspective. Perspective of وَالَّذِينَ هُمْ عَنِ اللَّغْوِ مُؤْرِضُونَ. They don't entertain all this type of vain, useless talk, they don't. So now, he will insist that I will not take a salary for my work. So he will do the work. If the days now, Mu'a Sahanpuri is gone for some work or not feeling well, Mu'a Yahya would cover up for him. So his ilm was at that level. At the highest level in Sahanpur, he could fill in. But outwardly it would seem like he's selling kitabs. That is his business. Kutub Farosh. But he is a mountain of a person. Now, Mullah is selling some kitab, he's bundling the kitab. One person comes in and he's rebuking Mullah, making allegations. So Mullah looked at him for one moment and he carried on, bundling his kitab, checking this. Now all this is carrying on. In the meanwhile, Mullah's one close friend, Munshi Hussain or something, he saw the whole spectacle. So he was upset. He says, Mullah, you don't have a tongue in your mouth. Your saliva has dried out. Can't you just reply to him? So Mullah looked at him for a second and he carried on. So now he became even more irritable. Why are you treating me like how you're treating your enemy? So all Mullah did, alright, see, you got a tongue in your mouth and your saliva hasn't dried, you can answer. And he carried on. He's Mullah is saying that I'm dedicating my work, right? I'm showing his dedication from then till now. He's completing one Quran Sharif every day with all his business and all that. Right? Now, if I were to get caught into all these things here, is my recitation going to get interrupted or not? So, he was a shout, and I can't control people. Yes, I'll wish well, talk well. But then, what they conspire, and what they plan, what they're doing, can you control that? You can't control it, so let them. ذَرْهُمْ فِي خَوْدِهِمْ يَلْعَبُونَ Look at that verse of that. ذَرْهُمْ فِي خَوْدِهِمْ يَلْعَبُونَ See, my complaint to a lot of ulama nowadays is, پڑھنے کے بعد پھر کتاب کو دیکھتے ہی نہیں. After they've studied, they don't make mutala. Or the life of our Kabir, the books that you have studied, the shuruat that are attached to it. Most comes in the Luwan translation, or Luwan bayan, or the tape, to try and memorize the thing, and stop it. So the level of the knowledge is not going to be good. What does Mufti want to say? The quality of the milk is subject to the feed. Mawla Bilal and all had that farm, right? Dairy farm. So, the dairy will come and fetch the milk, right? They'll come and fetch the milk. And then you get remunerated for it. So the dairy has to read the quality of the milk. See, they may have some gauge to see the quality. So after some time, they complain to Mawla Bilal and them, see, your milk is not for consumption. It is for a higher market. So Nestle, Cadbury, you have to give it to them. Then you will get rewarded correctly. Because it's very rich, very good, and it's not for our market. So now, the milk is subject to the feed. Feed is good, the milk is good. And feed is just scraps, then your knowledge is also scrap. And you can make out from the person's bayan and his wording, you can make it out. How deep he is. So someone is studying, looking at kitab, etc. He is different. And someone is taking a chance, you know also that he's taking a chance. Someone is just dependent on some bayan here, there, all that. You know all that. He is just dependent on what he hears here and there. Right? But someone is dedicated. His bayan is different. Maybe a simple talk, but you can make it out. This person has got munasabat onto it. So you see Mullah's dedication. So he's not paying attention to this person, not to that person. Apne kaam se kaam. That's why our elders say, Dusro ko mat chhor, Dusro ko mat share, aur apno ko mat chhor. Dusro ko mat share, aur apno ko mat chhor. Aur akabir, etc. That, don't ever leave it. Who's your elders? You don't leave that. But by the same token, You don't interfere with others. Someone will do ulta sida, he'll do something, ulta pesh, they'll do something, right? So you don't get into them. Because if you get into them, you leave your work out. It's not making business sense. Business is how much business have you done for the day? That's business sense. How much have you done? So you're talking about the Sheikh Muhammad, you're a student. So one is to leave out things that don't concern you. And all you can't fix up. Either it doesn't concern you, or you can't fix. More times about we say this. You know it's a situation that you can't fix up. Then you putting yourself, thrusting yourself into that is a waste of your effort. And it's a cause of anxiety and depression. See, when you get depressed, and you get anxiety. One is it doesn't concern you, and one is it's beyond you. And you're trying to fix it up. So what's going to happen? What's going to happen? Now, when we're coming from Azadville, so rush to the airport. As we boarded now, I'm bringing one sibara finished, two sibara finished, three sibara. Hey, the thing's not moving. So then they announced that got a problem now, and we're attending to it. Another half an hour went. Now they eventually they had to spill the beans. That the hinge on the door, that thing broke up. And now they have to cover up for themselves. They say safety first, you know, safety first. But they would have told us in the beginning, you could have made some alternate arrangement. They don't want to lose the business. So they give you information in piecemeal, you know, a little bit piecemeal, so that they don't lose the clientele. And they can do what they can do. So then eventually they had to say, alright, now disembark. Disembarked, waiting at the airport. Right. After about 2 hours now, that finally the hinge has come and now we can embark. So at least about 3 hours went away. So now in that situation, what I'm saying, I say, can you do anything about it? Now if you're frustrating and why are they doing this? Swearing and you want to get anywhere, or you're going to bring depression and despondency to yourself and the people around. So you know you can't handle it. You can't handle it. Don't you do your work then? Get involved in your work. What can I do this moment? What can I do? So because I had a tight schedule that day that I went, so about four programs I had to do. Arrived at about 11 o'clock. From then till the flight, 4 or 5 programs actually. So Sati is now doing their thing. Say, let me do my thing. Let me lie down. Alhamdulillah, I felt very much relaxed. So what you supposed to do that work? Now you frustrating. Now why he's doing that and why that person? There is a kuch hoga nahi. Tum apne kaam karo bhai. Why must you pretend to be like supreme control? Don't do that. That means perhaps you've got an agenda. See. Now, it can be misconstrued that it's a power struggle. You also want to be in the power struggle. Why am I not recognized? See. So it can be misconstrued. So why get into all that tofa? Why do your work? Say for example, if you die in the process, and you are frustrating, right? And because of your frustration now, you're doing some stupid things. Or you do something that is, you know, off the course of our elders. You die in that state. I say, is that a good way to die? Maybe your near baby has been right, but it was off the style of our elders. And in the process, you died. Right? Then, isn't that a complicated, compounded problem. But say for example, you die in the course, you're doing your work. Doing your work, dedicated, in the style of our elders, and you died in that. Right? Then isn't it a good way to die? this child, according to their teaching, what they thought, I'm not just doing that, I'm keeping to that. And you died in the process. So a very good way to bring about sanity and a direction is just to add death into the equation. You bring death into the equation, you come right. And if you delete the understanding of death, the reality of death, then you bring problems. Death will bring you back onto track. Just the thought. And if death comes now, then am I winning or am I losing? Or am I doubtful? Where am I? I need to know where I stand. In Darul Deoband, the first teachers were Maulana Puri Sahib and Hazrat Shaykh ul Hind. After Mullah Mahmood. Mullah Mahmood was the first teacher, and Mullah Mahmood's student was Shaykh ul Hind. And Maulana Puri Sahib Rahmatullahi were teaching about the first teachers. So in every institute, every dini work, you will have some tamasha, tumdam, some dramas, right? So there are some dramas carrying on. What was the dumdam, the drama about? So the townspeople, they felt that they should include some of the town persons into the shura. And the shura felt that that person that they want to include, he is not competent. So there's a big profound carrying on. Mudslinging, allegations, accusations, all of the carrying on. Now, while this thing is carrying on, so Thamis Abraham Tari has just arrived in Deoband. Now he's graduated, maybe after 10 years or something he's coming. Now he saw what's going on. So he wrote up a letter to Hazrat Gangohi Sahib Rahmatullahi, that was a Sarparast patron of the madrasa. So his suggestion was, Thanasab's suggestion was, that why don't we just bring this person into the shura? And that will just quell everything, it will calm the situation. Because the Darulum constitution, the way it reads like this, that what the majority say, the decision will be based on the majority. So if we include one townsperson into the shura, he'll be just one isolated case, and majority will be us. So you got the control over the situation, and you got the work going. Now it's such afra-tafri is going on, just everything is scattered all over. So Hazrat Gangohi's answer came in. And I say it's a great safety measure to go by what these people say. Extremely safe, inshallah. Because they worked with sincerity. One is that the ilm, and one is they had been working on mashwara. So, Gangohi's letter is coming to us more than Hazrat Gangohi Sahib Rahmatullahi. He says, see, if in the event we don't include the town person into the shura, as a result, this chaos, this anarchy, right? Chaos, problems. As a result, the madrasa has to close. So in the sight of Allah Ta'ala, we won't be sinful. Because we didn't include a person that was not competent. A person that was not competent to be a shura. So we didn't include him. So in the sight of Allah Ta'ala, we won't be answerable. But in the event, say for example now, just to quell calm situations, we included him, right? And the madrasa is thriving, right? We can be held responsible by Allah Ta'ala that the person that wasn't competent, why did you include him? See how Mullah's answer. Why did you include him? He's not competent. So why did you bring him? But that was the letter to Mullah Thani Sahib. And the Shaykhin, Mullah Sanpuri and Mullah Shaykh Uthin, they also wrote a letter around the same time. So his answer starts off, Mere Pyare, my beloved, tum pareshan kyun hote ho? Why are you worried? Tum apne kaam mein lage raho. You get involved, remain in your world. You remain in your world. Now, Dhyoban is at a time now, that Dhyoban is coming up. Let's understand the overview. What's the overview of the whole India? You got a whole understanding of what's India at that time. Then you got a good picture. So, showing Mora this morning, the approach to fiqh, right? So every Imam, Imam Malik, Imam Shafi, Imam Ahmad, Imam Sahib Rahmatullah, have got different approaches. You may ask why this different mazahib. So the approach is different. They looked at it differently. Imam Malik Rahmatullah, how he looked at it, is he saw the ta'amul of the Ahl Madina. What was the current practice of the people of Medina? So he made that his mazhab. If there was, for example, conflicting evidence in the hadith, right? So now he'll see what's the practice of the people of Medina. And then he'll make that his mazhab. And the reasoning is this, that the people of Medina, right, they seeing everything in Medina. Their parents, their grandparents were there. So they saw everything was happening. So they got first-hand information. Inherited it first-hand. So when they inheriting it first-hand, so they, ta'amul and their practice must be given a preference. That was now Imam Malik. Came to Imam Shafi rahmatullahi, and not very far away from Imam Shafi, Imam Ahmad. Their opinion is this, إِذَا صَحَّ الْحَدِيثُ فَهُوَ مَذْهَبِي. So Imam Shafi Ramadan is looking at the authenticity, how authentic, how reliable. So if it's very reliable, authentic, then he adopts that as his method. So see that one, and his approach is different. Second one, his approach is different. And not very far from Imam Shafi Ramadan is Imam Ahmad Ibn Hanbal Rahmatullahi. Then came to Imam Abu Hanifa Rahmatullahi. So he said, no, my approach to fiqh is this, ma kana awfaqa bil Qur'an, the hadith that is very close to the Qur'an. Maybe conformity or close to the Qur'an Sharif will give that a preference. And the reason for that is, anzalna ilayka dhikra litubayyina linnas. We have revealed this revelation, this Quran, to you, that you may expound the contents to mankind. So that means the Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam's teaching is an explanation to the Quran Sharif, isn't it? Anzalna ilayka dhikra litubayyina linnas. Can you see that? Why we've sent this? That you expound and you explain this, make it clear. So Imam Sahib's approach is different. So then I have to explain one hadith now to show this, you know. Anzalna ilayka dhikra to be in nas. Now, amongst the mazahib, Imam Shafi Rahmatullahi is qail of jama' bayna salatain. He says you can join two salats in a state of safar, etc. Like Zuhar and Asr, you can join it up. Maghrib and Isha, you can join up. Right? That's Imam Shafi Rahmatullah's opinion. Imam Tirmizi and perhaps Imam Bukhari also concur with the same view. And coming to Imam Sahib Rahmatullah, he says, no, you can't make Jama'ah Bayna Salatain. You can't join two salats in one time. You cannot join two salats in one at the same time. Now, the evidence is conflicting, contradictory. Some is for, some is not for. Right? But that's a different chapter altogether. But now, Imam Sahib is seeing, what is awfaq bil Qur'an? What is closer to the Qur'an Sharif? So, he comes across the ayat, inna salata kanat al-mina kitabam mawkuta. The namaz, kitab and farz. Namaz is declared as an obligation. But at fixed times, kitabam mawquta. So, when it's at fixed time, then the hadith that talks about performing the namaz on time, is it closer to the Quran, or the hadith that talks about joining two namazes at one and the same time, is that closer to the Quran? So now, the approaches are different. But overall, we respect all. We will not look down upon any imam, not look down and not use any statements to run down any imam or any masjid. Yes, we prefer one, but that doesn't mean we'll say that the haq is contained and confined in what we say. Possible the haq is in what Imam Shafi says, but Imam Malik says, right? But we feel from our study and research, we find that this is truer, this is more correct than the other. Are we coming back now? You should digress a little bit, bring it back. In between, I was just showing Hadi Savram there. So, he's a Ghair Mukalli. Ghair Mukalli, like you say, Ahl Hadith. They call them Ahl Hadith, but they're Ghair Mukalli. That means they're not committed to following any particular Imam. So now, he's taken bayat to Hazrat Hadi Sahab Rahmatullahi. Not even a week passed that he left his Ghair Muqallid things, all of these things. Like how the kid, the feet apart, and then Rafiya Day and all this. So he left all these things. Now he comes to report to Hazrat Hadi Sahab Rahmatullahi that I've taken bayat at your hands. And now I left all these things here. The barakat of your association. Hadi Sahib said, hey, just hold it now, just hold it. If you have left those things and conformed to what I'm doing because of a change of your tahqeeq and research, very good. First you felt that this was right. Now you studied the hadith, etc. And you feel that this is right, what I'm doing. Because of your research, you shifted from one to the other. Very good, mashallah. But if you're doing it just because I'm doing it, then I don't want to be responsible. If you're doing this, this shift from what you're doing to what I'm doing, is just because I'm doing it, that I don't want to be responsible. See that? See that the justice, the fair thinking. See that? So, he's holding everybody as true, every mazhab is true. Right. If you are making a change, then change on your, based on your studies and your research. Not because I am doing it, therefore you have changed your approach. No. So you're talking about that Sheikh Muhammad, and his story is still stretching. So, he hasn't eaten for 3 days. See how they vote. People that exhausted themselves for deen in that day, what they were doing, how they exerted themselves, exhausted them. Therefore, our Buzhughan didn't say, ye sab jo kharabiya hai, all these wrongs that are taking place, weaknesses, etc., ye pet ke bhare hone ki wajah se, because your stomach is full now, so all other thoughts are coming in. Even people get involved in love triangles. You say, let the person starve for 4 days. See if that love story is still ringing in his head. So that love story is ringing in the head when this extra energy, that extra energy running you, taking you this side, that side. But let that person starve for 4 days, see what happens. All the love story will follow. So that extra energy is bringing about all these things here. An extra energy. You don't know where to direct that energy. So this was their work. That's why you won't find fitna in their time. Sahaba Kiram's time, Bisham's time, no fitna at all. Right. Barak Ira, absolutely no fitna. One person did a wrong, right, you corrected him, here corrected the person that side. But overall there's no fitna. Right. Moving on in time, now there's fitna. And where they say, what they say, it stems from this point. There's an overload of energy, and at that overload of energy, your mind is running in different directions. Sometimes it's overload of energy, and sometimes it's your circle, the type of people that you will join up with. They make up your mind. He tells you something, you read something, you observe something, so that makes your mind, it turns your mind. And you don't know exactly what's all the elements in the game you're in. There may be something that they present before you, and some things they don't present. I know, in administrative issues, right? So some places I have to give my suggestion, right? But I know every suggestion is not transparent. Every suggestion or everything that happens is not transparent. And that not being transparent is for the betterment, not being transparent. Now we think, oh no, transparency, there must be transparency. Now let me just show you, right? So, I explained that I'm involved in several shuras, right? So, one person is dismissed. And I know about it that he's dismissed. In an organization, you get three levels. One is the administration. Second is like the management. And third is the people of the crowd. So the administration know some things that the management doesn't know, and the management will know some things that the people on the ground won't know. Now, I knew what was the reason for terminating this person here. And we just kept it, we hushed it, we didn't say anything. So now someone in the management raised an objection. Now, why was this person fired? Why didn't say anything? He said, oh, unfair dismissal, this, that, and made a big noise. So some of the people that I'm talking of now, like I said last night also, a lot of the people have died and gone. So now there's no possibility, inshallah, of knowing who's the person and where it happened. Right. So anyway, so the management is making a noise. One member, why? Unfair. After about 10 years, now the person was making a noise, his son is also in the same place, right? Same as South Africa. And he is guilty of a similar crime. Now I caught him in the quiet. I told him, see, you know, 10 years ago there was a case and some of us terminated, right? Do you know, see, yeah, I made a noise about it. And we didn't tell you what the details said. Today, your son has done something similar. Now, do you want us to make it totally transparent to everybody? That son, this person here, the son of so-and-so, he did this thing here, and therefore, this is the action, this is the reaction. Do you want it to be exposed and transparent? Now, at that time, I just concealed, I didn't tell you anything about it. But now, today, I'm telling you that that was the reason for us to keep it concealed. So some things on the level of admin, they not exposed, not made transparent, for the betterment of the work. It's not for any personal agenda, no. But now, we can't share it with you, protecting that person's reputation and isn't. So you have to do it quietly, terminate the person, move him out of the equation, but let the work carry on through. And I will say this also now, about 2 weeks ago, so other people come, you know, from other madrasas, etc., so they're taking mashwara. So I will tell them this thing here, that please, for Allah's sake, you don't get involved in the admin. Don't get involved. But have a good track record with the elders. Elders of the work, just see that you're pleasing them. Happy. And I'm thinking, I just tell you that elders of the work, you're respecting them, they're happy with you. Is there any precedent for that? So I was checking the Shaykh and this Kitab on Tarbiyatul Salik. People have, ulama have given the ahwal, and the Shaykh is replying. So there he says to one alim that has taken employment in a senior position at a madrasa, says, you see to it that your elders are very happy with you. Ke tumhare bare madrasa ke bare tumse bare khush rahe. So he said, at least I'm on track. So it's nice to double check. Now, people that are at that level, they don't understand. But you're not at that level, so you cannot understand some things. So long as there's no clear discrepancy. لَا تَرَى كُفْرًا بَوَّاحًا. Open transgression, there is a difference in the two part ways. But now it's a fault in the admin that you assume, right? So it doesn't have to be the fault. It doesn't have to be a fault. Maybe it's a cover-up. Maybe it's something else that is not visible to you. So now we're talking of this Sheikh Muhammad, right? And no food for 3 days. And he says, see, I promise Allah Ta'ala, I'm not going to ask anybody. I'll starve, but I won't ask. Now, over 3 days, and nothing in your stomach. Can you imagine how you'll feel? And in the meanwhile, he's taking a promise with Allah Ta'ala that I'm not going to ask for anything. Now, on the fourth day, or perhaps the fifth day, he gets some aroma of some plow. Like India, the plow is like a top meal. Right? And more especially when it's added with saffron, zafran. You know? So I think really enhances the whole thing. So it's coming from that end and it's being enhanced. And now he can't resist. Just past the third day, fourth day, nothing to eat. Absolutely nothing. No dry bread, no fresh bread, nothing. So he went in the direction of the food, as though his impulse had the better of him. Impulse for that smell, and he went there. I don't think that how could you do such a thing? Well, you haven't been through that. You don't know what it is to be starving. Because you don't know what it is to be starving, therefore you say, why did he do this? He went in that direction. His luck, around that time the pot or the deg is cooked. The one that is in charge is not there. So I said, hey, all the better now. You have to get the scoop, to scoop out something. Say, hey, what am I doing? He left it, and he went to his room. Say, now, death will decide. I'm not going to take it, but death will decide now. So, he resisted. See, this is called taqwa. That taqwa requires that you hold yourself. Not only from haram, but things that are controversial, not clear, doubtful, you keep yourself away from it. That's what taqwa requires. Not only in food. Our whole taqwa is either food, or more than food is wuzu. But wuzu is on, not on. Wuzu is on. So the whole taqwa is just on the wuzu. But whilst all that, the taqwa doesn't play. But this man, this mullah says, alright, it can't be too hard. There the taqwa doesn't feature. So he just came back to the room. He said, now death must decide from here. And not even 1 hour passed, that there was a knock on the door. So he asked who? Said, Saeed is here. So he opened the door. Hey, to his shock now, he saw his ustad. His ustad, his sheikh, his some sheikh Saeed. And he got another man, Sheikh Saeed, and his ustad, and he's accompanied by another person. So he's pointing to this young student, 20, 21 years of age, Sheikh Muhammad. You were looking for someone for your daughter. This is the right person. Right? And we brought him out. And you see, we were having some dawah in the house. The Tayyib Sheikh Muhammad. Now, you must also join in the meals. The same food, you would have ate it in a haram way, and now the same meal is coming not in a haram way, with respect, with dignity. See that? The 3 days of sabr, he resisted. His temptations were having the bit over him. He reached for it, and he pulled back. See now that Allah is looking at your endurance. What's your level of endurance? At that point now, then he takes a decision, all right. Like he fired two birds with one stone. Rozi ka masla hal ho gaya, aur jori ka masla bhi hal ho gaya. Because the rozi, right, the food, because I got married to a wealthy family, and he's going to give the house and all that, right? House, food, what he's going to give. And he got a wife as well. See that? Two. But Allah is looking at your endurance. How's your endurance? Are you enduring out? Now, in any situation, deen, dunya, fitna, whatever, but you are enduring. And then, is this a time? The thing will, it will peak. And when it peaks, then Allah's decision comes in. So, Allah wants to give you a certain mark for you, the good that you're doing. For the good that you're doing, he wants to give you a certain mark. But that mark will come after a certain point, which you don't know. It may come after 10 years, 15 years, 20 years, it will come after that. But you have to reach to a certain point, and there the decision of Allah overtakes. وَلَقَدْ أَخَذْنَا آلَ فِرْعَوْنَ بِالسِّنِينَ وَنَقْسِمْ مِنَ الثَّمَرَاتِ لَعَلَّهُمْ يَتَّكَّرُونَ Musa is coming in. Right? These people are still jahadu biha wa staiqanatha anfusum. They bent on their obstinacy. They bent on their obstinacy. At the birth of Musa alayhi salam, they slaughtering children. Then after some years, when that fear of Musa alayhi salam was overwhelming, because Musa alayhi salam came now as a Nabi. And got the yada bayda, right? You got the sobanu mubin, right? All these things are displayed before Fir'aun. Awalo jituka bi shay'in mubin, qala fa'ati bihi in kunta min as-sadiqin. If I can perform a miracle before you, so produce it. Fa'alqa asahu fa idha hiya sobanu mubin. So when he threw his rod, and that thing turned into a serpent. He pulled out his hand, and became radiant like the sun. Now, he saw this thing there. The Mufassir writes there, that snake, that serpent, came to charge Fir'aun. So, Fir'aun came to ask Musa, hey, just hold it please. Just hold it please. Right. But then now, look at it then. The type of demeanor Allah Pakhar blessed Musa al-Islam with. Right. In the meanwhile, Fir'aun has got such powers, he's just chopping, killing. Right. But Musa al-Islam is just one man, right? And he's speaking out against the kingdom. And Fir'aun can't do anything. سَنَشُدُّ عَدُودَكَ بِأَخِيكَ وَنَجْعَلُ لَكُمَا سُلْطَانًا وَنَجْعَلُ لَكُمَا سُلْطَانًا So that was the power Allah had given to Musa al-Islam. That Fir'aun would see him, but he can't do anything. He becomes like helpless. He's making pisa. So now, all these things happen. When these things happen then, Fir'aun executed, he issued a new order of the killing of the children of Bani Israel. See, first at the time of birth, now at the time of his nubuwwat, again, the order of killing children came in. So the Bani Israel began to cry. Udina min qabli an ta'tiyana wa min ba'di ma ji'tana. We had a problem before you could come out to us. And now that you came to us, then you got a second problem. Udina min qabli an ta'tiyana ومن بعد ما جئتنا. So all these problems will happen in the world. You came here, you came to a land of problems, you're going to get it. اِهْبِتُوا بَعْدُكُمْ لِبَعْدٍ عَدُوٌ. Allah made it known to Adam and Islam, it's going to be enmity, it's going to be a rivalry. You're not going to have it smooth. اِهْبِتُوا بَعْدُكُمْ لِبَعْدٍ عَدُوٌ. There's going to be an enmity, long drawn. Right. So, اُذِينَا مِنْ قَبْلِ أَن تَأْتِيَنَا وَمِنْ بَعْدِ مَا جِئْتَنَا. So Musa alayhi salam then says, أَسَى رَبُّكُمْ أَن يُهْلِكَ عَدُوَّكُمْ وَيَسْتَخْلِفَكُمْ فَيَنْزُورَ كَيْفَ تَعْمَلُونَ. That's a very crucial thing. This whole verse, see another, that long wait, right? That long wait. So Musa alayhi salam answered them that Allah is going to destroy your enemy and you're going to be holding the reins after that. The whole rule is going to come. وَنَسْتَخْلِفَكُمْ. The whole reign, the whole superpower, Egypt will be in your hands. But what is the last line? فَيَنْزُورَ كَيْفَ تَعْمَلُونَ. Then Allah Pak will watch, you complaining about this person here, that person, alright, you're complaining. Allah Pak is saying, as though he's trying the Bani Israel, you're complaining about that. Now we'll put you onto the administrative ruling seat, then we'll see your behavior. We're not just giving you because you're Bani Israel, no. We're going to give it to you, and you're complaining about this one here, so we'll give you that seat. But then in that whole process, we're going to see what are you doing, what's your behavior. فَيَنْزُولَ كَيْفَ تَعْمُونَ. But you see, that help of Allah is going to come right at the end. Right at the end. So all the struggle, that hardship, everything. Then, 2/3 of Rasulullah's life is gone. No, not 2/3. You'll say, 9/10 of his life is gone. 9/10 of his life is gone. Then comes the conquest of Makkah Mukarrama. Do you see that? 13 years here, and 8 years in Madinah Munawwara. That's the conquest of Makkah. So, such a long waiting for إِذَا جَاءَ نَصْرُ اللَّهِ وَالْفَتْحِ. Can you see that? 13 and 8, how much? 20, 21, right? And maybe some whole life after Nubuwwah is 23. So it's like 9/10. So 9/10 was his struggle. Because every day is a problem. If Badr finished, then Uhud. Uhud finished, then is Khandaq. Khandaq finished, then is Hudaybiyah. There is problems after problem. They just got the control when? On the 21st year. Like I said, 9/10. So it comes right at the end. And you'll ask, but why such a long wait? So Imam Ghazali gives the reason. He says, you see, Allah's help comes with sifat. What? The khulas, I'm giving my own words, but this is the khulas of Imam Ghazali in his kalam. Yeah. Allah's help doesn't come because of a family, because of a name, because of a lineage. No. He wants to see what is your behavior. فَيَنْزُورَ كَيْفَ تَعْمُ. What's your behavior like? What's the conduct like? So you are nothing. You're just a drop, nothing else. But what's your behavior like? Based on your behavior is the help of Allah Ta'ala. Your behavior, your conduct, your values are right. That's where the blessings come. So if there's anything to invest in, is in right behavior, right conduct, right vision, understanding. That's the place to invest in, to put your investments in. Right. Because every other investment is subject to failure and collapse, right? Every other investment is subject to failure and collapse. Now just look at the qudrat of Allah, right? Just say, until 7 months ago, every second Muslim's tourist destination was Turkey, right? And Allah Pak just shook that Turkey a little bit. Now, is that any longer a tourist destination? You might have heard, where are you going? I'm going to Turkey. Hey, why you didn't go to Turkey still? So, just come there, man. See the Blue Mosque and all that. So every second Muslim's tourist destination was Turkey. So no investment is guaranteed. Yes, the guaranteed investment is what you have invested with Allah Ta'ala. وَالْآخِرَةُ خَيْرُ وَأَبْقَى وَالْآخِرَةُ خَيْرُ وَأَبْقَى You invest in that thing never fails. Allah never fails. نَعُوذُ بِاللَّهِ Can never fail. So, on the one side, that what he's supposed to be doing is taqwa. I showed you the Shaykh Muhammad story. That's the one thing that you resist, right? And the other thing that we need to do is correct the mind as well. It's not just the observance of taqwa and resistance, but the state of the mind also must be right. That yaqeen, the thought, the understanding also must be rectified. That Allah will make it happen. And this is a probationary period. The probationary period requires us to get our behavior right, to get our conduct right, to get our values right. That's what it requires. So are we doing that right? Otherwise Allah could have done it. In 1 second he could have done it. But he let the conquest of Makkah come 21 years later. Allah Tawfiq is in that.